Allow me to welcome you to the State Affairs. I call this meeting to order. Today's Thursday, March 12th, 2009. It is now 4 minutes after nine. At this time, if you haven't already done so, would you please turn off all your electronic devices? Please let the record reflect that Senators Passavant, Myers, and Menard are in attendance. I would also like to introduce my committee aide, Deborah Prater. Today we'll be hearing the following Senate bills: House Resolution Senate Bill 113, an act increasing the compensation of the members of the Alaska Public Office Commission and providing for an effective date. Senate Bill 130 will also be heard. It's Economic Stimulus Task Force. In SB 94, the PFD allowance abstinence and Antarctica program, and HCR 7 relating to awarding the Alaska Decoration of Honors to certain members of the military. We will begin with Senate Bill 113, an act increasing compensation of members of the Alaska Public Office Commissions and providing for an effective date. The committee will recognize Senator Myers' office to come forward to present the bill. Please state your name, affiliation, and give your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With your permission, I'll just present the bill from here.
That's correct.
Okay. Very good. Good morning. For the record, I am Senator Kevin Meyer, the sponsor of Senate Bill 113. As was mentioned, Senate Bill 113 will increase the honorarium received by APOC, or by the APOC members, from $50 to $150 per meeting day. As we know, APOC administers laws upholding the public's right to know the financial affairs of lobbyists and their employers, candidates, public officials at the state and local levels. APOC is a five-member volunteer commission that oversees campaign finance laws. This includes issuing formal advisory opinions, adjudicating requests to reduce civil penalties for late filing of disclosure reports, assessing penalties for non-compliance with reporting requirements, recommending removal from the ballot or office in accordance with the law, and adjudicating complaints through approval of settlements and civil penalty assessments. These activities subject the filers to fines and at times to much public scrutiny. Also, the work completed by agency is subject to appeal by the Superior Court, which means that their work has to be done very carefully and very thoroughly. APOC's responsibilities have expanded over the years, but the honorarium paid has remained the same since 1975. And as we know, we, the legislature, have added to their work substantially over the last 2-3 years. The increase from $50 to $150 APOC's honorarium in line with the other state boards and commissions, and there's a comparison chart in your packet. I think that the workload and the scrutiny that APOC board members have to face, that we should make sure that their compensation is in line with other voluntary boards and commissions. We do have Patty Ware from the Juneau APOC office is here in person, as well as Holly Hill, the executive director, is online. And there may be some other folks as well. Madam Chair, thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I think it's appropriate. We want to recognize that Senator Kukash and Senator French has joined us. So with that, do any committee members have any questions of Senator Myers? Okay, we can go offline. Is Holly Hill online?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Did you want to present some testimony, Holly?
Very quickly, Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Holly Hill. I'm the executive director of APOC within the Department of Administration. Senator Meyer mentioned there was no change since 1975, but I also wanted to make sure the committee understood the workload involved with this commission. Last year, 17 complaints were filed, an abnormally high amount compared to 3 in the year before. Last year, calendar year, also 9 advisory opinion requests were made. This year alone, we've received 7 in the first 2.5 months of the year. And I just wanted to add my support to this. It is needed to attract and retain qualified and dedicated members of the commission to make sure the work of this agency is carried out appropriately. Thank you.
Thank you, Holly. A little bit off point, but a question I have. When you said you had an increase of complaints, is that typically during an election year that you find more more people that file are being investigated or calling for investigations?
Madam Chair, yes, ma'am. It is still a significant increase over previous election years.
Do any members of the committee have any questions of Holly you'd like to pose at this time? Okay, thank you very much, Holly. Next, we'll go to Elizabeth Hickerson.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm just online if there are any questions.
Okay. Could you just state your name again and your affiliation, and if you want to give any testimony, and I'll ask the committee, do you have any questions of Elizabeth?
Okay. I'm Elizabeth Hickerson. I am the chair of the commission, and I'm available if anyone has any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Doesn't look like any members have any questions at this time, Elizabeth. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Next, we have Rachel Petro.
Good morning, Madam Chair. My name, for the record, is Rachel Petro. I'm Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Administration, and I am available if the committee members have any questions and would like to state for the record that the administration does support this Senate Bill 113.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. Any members have any questions, Rachel? Are there any members in the audience at this time that would like to come forward? Okay, at this time I will close public testimony. If no one else wishes to testify, we'll close the public testimony and move to discussion. Do committee members have any questions or amendments?
Madam Chair.
Senator French.
I should put on the record that I have a matter pending before the APOC Commission. I believe it's been concluded with the levying of a fine. You may have seen reference to that in the news recently. However, there's a savings paragraph in the letter they sent me that in essence says the Commission, once it reviews the recommendation made by staff, could conceivably change its mind. So I just wanted to let you and the public know that you know, I have a matter in front of the APOC Commission, or potentially could, and wanted to put that on the record so that there's no ambiguity about my you know, position right now and this potential pay increase for those commissioners.
Okay, thank you, Senator French. I guess seeing no more discussion, we can move the bill. Do I hear a motion to move this bill from committee? Senator Meyer, maybe you're not the one, since but it's your bill. Senator Kukesh, would you?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll move that Senate Bill number 113 be moved from this committee with individual recommendations. And fiscal note, the next committee of referral, I believe, is the Finance Committee. So that's my motion.
Okay. Is there any objection to that or any discussion? Okay. Seeing that, we'll go ahead and move that. And then, Committee Aide, will you go ahead so we can sign?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, we'll take just a brief at ease while we sign. To order. Our Economic Stimulus Task Force, Senate Bill 130, Senator McGuire will be with us in just a few minutes, so we'll go ahead and move on to the next one if that's okay with the other members. So let's take up then Senate Bill 94, PFD Allowable Absence Antarctica Program. The sponsor has prepared a blank committee substitute. Would Kristen Bersetti, staff of Senate District B, please come forward, present the bill, and explain the committee substitute. Remember to state your name and affiliation and give testimony. Thank you.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for hearing SB 94 this morning. For the record, my name is Kristen Bersetti, staff to Senate District B. SB 94 would create a permanent fund dividend allowable absence for Alaskans who are employed in Antarctica through the United States Antarctic Program. This small group of Alaskans works seasonally in Antarctica and returns to Alaska, where they all maintain their primary residence. The income they earn in Antarctica is predominantly spent here in Alaska, which in turn is supporting local businesses here in Alaska. I have heard from Alaskans who are employed in Antarctica and maintain their primary residence in Anchorage, Denali Park, Eagle River, Hope, Juneau, McKinley Village, Moose Pass, Soldotna, Sutton, and Talkeetna. This bill does include a provision that workers must return to Alaska within 30 days of leaving Antarctica. The United States Antarctic Program is funded and managed by the U.S. government's National Science Foundation. The program has three year-round stations, McMurdo, South Pole, and Palmer. All but one of these Alaskans works for Raytheon Polar Services Corporation, the contractor for the National Science Foundation. One Alaskan works directly for the National Science Foundation. Alaska-based NANA Regional Corporation is a subcontractor, as is Alaska-based RSA Engineering. Most of these workers work seasonally in Antarctica, either in the summer season or the winter season. Contracts have a 14-month maximum duration, but contracts average 6 months. Nine Alaskans are currently working in Antarctica this winter through the United States Antarctic Program. A PFD requirement is that all times during an absence, an Alaskan must demonstrate intent to remain an Alaska resident indefinitely. All of these workers do so because they maintain their primary residence here. And that concludes my presentation, and I'd be happy to try to answer any questions.
Thank you, Christine. Are there any questions from the committee? Okay, Senator French, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good morning, Kristen. How are you? Just a question about how many people we think might fit into this category.
Through the chair, Senator French, I have heard from 18 workers, and there are a few that are currently working in Antarctica I haven't heard from, so I'm estimating probably 20 to 25.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Christopher, for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to provide public testimony? Okay, then we'll go to online. We have Lee Parker. Lee?
Hello, Madam Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, Madam Chair, thank you for granting me the opportunity to petition in support of Senate Bill 94. By the way, I'm calling from South Pole.
Excuse me.
There is a chance my connection could be broken while I'm speaking.
Okay.
In which case, Kristen Brissett has a copy of my testimony.
Lee, I'm trying to interrupt. I'm sorry. Would you state your name and affiliation for the record?
Ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. My name is Lee Parker, and I'm just representing myself.
Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry to have to break up there. Go ahead. Continue, please.
No, ma'am. That's fine. Can I go now?
Yes.
All right. I've been a resident of Alaska for 33 years. My Alaskan driver's license was first issued in 1976. My vehicle is licensed and insured in Alaska and currently stored in my garage in Alaska, awaiting my return home. I have voted in almost all Alaskan elections, both local and state, since 1976 when I first registered. Even when on the ice, Antarctica is often called the ice, I managed to vote in Alaskan elections despite the difficulties. I've owned a home in Juneau for 21 years, and all but 140 pounds of my worldly goods are in that house awaiting my return. My beloved pets also dwell in that home, awaiting my return. My dog is licensed in Alaska. Jury duty can be demanded of me because I'm an Alaskan. I can purchase a resident license to hunt and fish in our fair state. I can pay resident tuition when attending courses at any Alaskan university. I buy goods and services from my Alaskan businesses and organizations, even while I'm deployed to the ice. I'm a resident of Alaska, not of any other state or country. I'm an Alaskan. I'm currently serving at the South Pole Station in Antarctica. I will be working here for a long, cold, dark, and isolated 9 months before returning home to Juneau to another winter, albeit it's not quite as cold and dark there. I've worked in the Antarctic program since 2000, deploying to this remote white continent 8 times over the last 9 years, and always returning home to Alaska soon after each contract ended. All deployments to Antarctica are always temporary. There is no such thing as a permanent job in Antarctica. 14 months is the longest deployment allowed. The authorities such as the National Science Foundation, just won't let anyone stay on the continent any longer than that. And frankly, I would not want to stay longer. I become too homesick. Homesick for my home, my pets, my friends, my wilderness to wander through freely. I'm an Alaskan, and Alaska's my home. I'm an Alaskan who spends the overwhelming bulk of my ICE-earned income in our state, contributing to the economic health of our Alaskan businesses and organizations, and even the tax collectors. I am a migrant worker, temporarily going outside to work in Antarctica and spending most of the earnings back home to Alaska. Less than 1% of my income remains in Antarctica, in part because there's little use for it here. All essentials, such as room, board, and transportation, are provided by the employer. It's a good thing since there are no homes in Antarctica to buy or to rent. There's not only little call for spending money here, but there's also little opportunity to do so. This entire continent has no grocery stores, no gas stations, no restaurants, no movie theaters, no car dealerships, no shopping malls, no tax collectors.
I'm sorry, Lee, we have to keep the testimony to 3 minutes. That's what we posted on our website. I'm sorry. Can you wrap up just a few last comments, please? Thank you.
Yes. I think my biggest comment is about 99% of my income that I earn here in Antarctica is spent back home in Alaska. It helps my Alaskan businesses. I think it's an economic benefit having a job that's pretty dependable, especially in this economic climate. And I'd like to see the PFD go to us, which in turn will return to Alaska.
Okay, thank you very much. Are there any members that have any comments or questions of Lee? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much. We'll move on to Bill Hendrickson.
Yes, this is William Hendrickson, and my affiliation is it's myself. I'm currently in McMurdo Station, a few miles away from where Lee is in South Pole, but I've recently purchased a home in Eagle River. That was actually last month, February 26th. That was completed. My sister was my power of attorney on that since I was down here on the ice. But just a little history. I've lived in Alaska since 1961 with about 4 years where I've spent out of state when my parents moved back to the lower 48. And then also early in my adulthood, I had moved back. But I've lived in Alaska now for 44 years, or nearly 44 years. Leah summed up a lot of this, that as an Alaskan, I spend my time down here, which I've now spent almost over 5 years of total time. But essentially, I always come back to the state of Alaska, and the money that I do make is spent within the state of Alaska. And case in point is the recent purchase of a home. I did have a home that I sold 2 years ago, and I don't know what can serve a better intent as far as coming back, that, you know, showing the permanent residence. The history of what got me down to Antarctica was working for RSA Engineering, Anchorage firm, and we were tasked to come down and do inspection work for the new South Pole Station. I did that for a little over a year worth of time, over two different years, then came back to Antarctica back to the South Pole as the winter manager for Raytheon Polar Services, and that was a couple of years later. I took that position two times, so basically represented the state of Alaska as in a fairly significant position at South Pole Station. Since then, I've come back again after my last winter at South Pole in 2005. I've come back as the station manager for the National Science Foundation in McMurdo. And this will be my fourth season that I do this job. And this job is typically about 6.5 months that I'm actually down on the ice. So it is only about a little over half of a year. But consistently now I've done this, well, every year since 2006. Again, like Lee, I'm a registered voter. I participate within the state of Alaska in every way possible. I have missed a few elections just because of logistics and trying to vote absentee. I think to just kind of one last summary that I would like to point out that the money is not that important to me as far as the permanent fund. I'm actually one of the lucky ones down here where I do make a fairly significant amount of money in the type of job that I have and with my background. But one of the things that has bothered me about the permanent fund program and the exclusion for the Antarctic program is that it tends to make us as a group feel as lesser citizens of the state through this ineligibility. I'd just like to point that out.
Okay.
In terms of, when you're in Antarctica, you're not in a country, you're on a continent that's not recognized. It's not recognized by the United States as a country, so you really can't be anywhere else. You can't be a citizen someplace else. So in essence, when I'm down here, if I don't get recognition through the state, you know, what does that mean as far as citizenship? That's basically, in a nutshell, what I'd like to testify. I realize I had a statement that would have gotten over 3 minutes, but
Thank you very much. Is there any comments or questions of Bill Hendrickson from the committee? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone else that wishes to testify? We have before us then a blank committee substitute. Is it the will of the committee to adopt this committee substitute as the working document?
Madam Chair, I'll also move. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing none, the committee substitute is adopted by State Affairs as the working document. If you are ready to move this bill out of the committee, is there any discussion, first of all? May I hear a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I'll move that CS for Senate Bill number 94 be passed out of the State Affairs Committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations and the attached fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, Senate Bill 94, PFD Allowable Absence Antarctica Programs, moves from State Affairs to its next committee of referral.
Thank you.
And we'll take another at ease while we sign. Back to order. Since we moved down the calendar, the Economic Stimulus Task Force Senate Bill 130, we're going to have testimony on that. So if everyone can get to Senate Bill 130. So next on our agenda is Senate Bill 130, the Economic Stimulus Task Force. Senator McGuire will now come forward, present the bill. Please identify yourself, your affiliation, and give your testimony.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. My name is Lisa McGuire. I represent Senate District N, Southwest Anchorage, and I'm here representing myself and my constituents and hopefully some of you. When I bring forward this bill today, Senate Bill 130, Madam Chair, is simply a tool that we could have in our toolbox of things to consider when we look at the analysis of the Federal Recovery Act, the stimulus bill that's come down from the federal government, containing almost $1 trillion in money that will be spread out throughout the United States. It's coming to all of us very rapidly. It's coming with some complex rules, deadlines that are spread out throughout a long period of time, ranging all the way from the earliest, which was a couple of days ago, March the 10th, that was the first deadline, all the way through 2011. As you will hear from Larry Pursley and others, there have been people in this building hard at work to try and digest the federal stimulus dollars and what Alaska can do to respond to those deadlines. So I want to put that on the record right away that this bill is not aimed at embarrassing anyone or any attempt to imply that work has not been done to analyze this. But rather, Madam Chair, it's a reflection of the fact that it was coming down very rapidly and without a seemingly logical place for the public, especially, to turn for the deadlines to know when that money was coming in and any logical communication going on between the second and third floors, the administration and the legislature. Since the time this bill has been introduced, Larry Pursley has been identified as a leader in the House and Steve Porter as a leader in the Senate in terms of staff to the package. Certainly, the governor has appointed Karen Rehfeld as the lead person from OMB. And so there has been movement. We have responded to the federal stimulus package in the part that pertains to transportation and infrastructure. The next deadline that comes up is April the 3rd. And my understanding is there's lots of work underway. That's the education piece and the Medicaid piece, again, which are largely government related. The idea behind this task force is actually narrowing in its scope. When we were back in Washington, D.C. last week, members of the Senate and I had an opportunity to discuss this piece of legislation and what its role might be. So I'm here to talk to you about that narrower scope and to ask that this committee consider moving this bill onto the Finance Committee, where it can be considered along with other tools and other strategies at approaching the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The narrower scope that we discussed is the third portion of the stimulus package, which pertains to competitive grants. There are competitive grants that are available to all of the states. They are large pots of money containing millions of dollars, in some cases up to a billion, that are spread out and, to be applied for across the United States. They have a myriad of dates and deadlines that apply to each of them. It's some 33 distinct pots of money in a wide range of areas, including renewable energy projects to projects that would feed the hungry. Our nonprofits here in the state of Alaska are eligible for many of them, as well as municipalities and boroughs. And the idea, I think, now behind this task force, again, should the Finance Committee decide that it doesn't want that task during the interim, would be to oversee information and the distribution of those grants in some way. As you can see, the structure of the bill right now asks for three members from the Senate, three members from the House, two members from the administration, and one member from the Alaska Municipal League, which we think is an important voice in all of these discussions that perhaps to some extent hasn't been it's not that it's been missing, it's just that perhaps the AML's voice hasn't been as coordinated with ours. So the task force could, if we wanted, be put forward and set up in the interim to oversee information distribution about those grants, to be a natural place that the public, munis, nonprofits, and boroughs could go to, not only to get information, but perhaps to give information. And what it strikes me, Madam Chair, that one of the big concerns stems out of a hearing that we had in energy last week, wherein some individuals came forward to talk about a really exciting algae project that they were looking at for renewable energy. The presentation itself was fascinating, but midway through, the two individuals who were there, who are from outside of Alaska, mentioned that they had already begun the process of applying for competitive grant money from Alaska from the Alaska portion of the energy stimulus in this bill. And it struck me right away that there are going to be people out there that are much more savvy, perhaps ahead of the power curve, perhaps in possession of information that we are not. And it seems like a logical thing to have a task force that's made up of elected officials and members of the administrative branch and the municipal league to perhaps even just oversee and have some kind of a role in the information and, again, the distribution of those monies. So in wrap up, again, it's not that it's the perfect magic bullet answer. It's simply an idea. It's gotten a lot of traction from the public, which tells me that whether you believe this is the right solution or not, that there's a fair amount of concern about the stimulus package, the amount of money that's out there, and information getting out to the public.
Do you have a handle on how many other states have put together a similar task force?
I do.
Like you're recommending in this bill.
I do, Madam Chair, and unfortunately that particular document is not attached to this, but I can get it to the committee. There are many states, and in interviews that I did when I was in D.C., Ohio, Virginia, Maryland, many states have put together. In fact, that is I would say, if you were looking percentage-wise, it seems like about 30% of the states have responded with that as a model. The task forces are largely organized with members of both the legislature and the administrative branch. Some of them have come about through the assembly. In the case of California, it was an assemblyman mm-hmm. who took the lead, if you will, to organize that task force and a website that would go with it. In other states, it's been the governor who has appointed a task force to look through it. Some states have included members of the public as well, and that would be something for this committee to consider. So it's a model that's out there. So frankly, this was not an original idea. It didn't come to me in the middle of the night. It's not an original idea. But what I would say, Madam Chair, is that the majority of states have some organized concrete method of responding, and did so within the last few weeks. They had already culminated in some kind of direction.
And my only comment would be, you know, we're so blessed that we do have money available, except with oil dropping this year, of course. So we have such skilled, savvy people ourselves within the state of Alaska. So it's certainly something I'm entertaining, but I do have some reservations because I do recognize the quality of financial people that we do have, even in this building.
Absolutely.
But how about other members of the committee? Do you have questions for the senator?
I do. Senator French. Thank you, Madam Chair. And I want to begin by saying that I think this is a wonderful idea, and I applaud you for bringing it forward. I, like you, have sensed that there's not a clear central sort of entity steering the stimulus monies here in the state, and I think that's unfortunate. And so I applaud you for at least getting the ball rolling on creating something that would do that. I do have two questions. One is sort of a practical question, and that is, you know, this bill gallops through the legislature as fast as it possibly can, and the task force gets to work. What, you know, but I'm looking at your very helpful key date chart that you provided, and I'm asking myself, you know, if it looks like April 3rd is sort of a crucial moment where the governor has to certify, one, the state will request and use funds provided by the act, and two, the funds will be used to create jobs and promote economic growth. What sort of useful work can the task force do after that date? So that's my first question. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And through the chair, Senator French, and you're absolutely right, and that was the discussion that took place last week about the narrowing of what the role of the task force could do. Clearly, it was brought out at a time where if it had been put directly on the floor that day and we'd have approved it, it might have had a function. Being referred to two committees and so forth, that clearly made that null and void. That date will come and go, and we will respond accordingly. But what I envision the task force doing now is to deal with, as you look in the back part of, I'm hoping you have this.
Trevor, do they have the
Okay. So could you grab that back section, and we'll just distribute it really quickly to them, that has the appendix and the schedule of key dates. So in this in the schedule of key dates, after the April the 3rd deadline, you began to walk through the myriad of deadlines associated with these pots of money that I was talking about in the competitive grants. And they range from, you know, May the 3rd, June the 1st, June the 17th, August the 16th, September the 30th is the Native American Housing Block grants. December the 1st is Education for Disadvantaged. January 1st, 2010 is competitive grants to states and Indian tribes for the development of loan programs to facilitate the widespread adoption of certified technology. Anyway, you get the point, and I'll distribute this. But you're right, Senator French, at this stage, the leadership will be shown on the part of Larry Pursley and the co-chairman of Finance on the House, and on our side, the Steve Porter and the co-chairman of Senate, with respect to the April 3rd date. So this task force, if it should pass through and come into fruition, would then begin in the interim. We end here April the 19th, so the task force could begin its work anytime thereafter, meeting to gather up information and distribute it to the appropriate communities, boroughs, nonprofits, and so forth, to deal with the large, what I think is going to be equally confusing and, again, a lot of work. And that money, by the way, does not come through the state. It's money that will come directly through to those boroughs and nonprofits, which makes it even more onerous. I mean, and why I think having three members of the House and the Senate, and hopefully two skilled members of the governor's cabinet, to help guide folks who may not have any financial savvy and experience whatsoever, I think would be a real public service. And by the way, in the end, we are the people that are going to be held accountable, as you know. It really doesn't matter. If we want to put our hands up and say, you know, you folks out there apply for it and so on, if they miss deadlines, if the money goes to people from outside who are more savvy, or snake oil salesmen or so on and so forth, we, the elected members, of the House and Senate, are going to be held accountable anyway.
Okay. Follow-up, Senator French.
Second question. Thank you, Senator McGuire. Excellent answer. And my other question has to do with sort of the existing entities that we have that could do this work, and I've got very much in mind, you know, a highly respected, intelligent, and savvy a finance person to my left who chairs the Labor and Senate LB&A, or I'm sorry,
Legislative
the Legislative Budget and Audit Committee, the Joint Legislative Budget and Audit Committee. It took me a little while to get that out, but I had this guy right, but the committee gave me a little trouble. In any event, you know, why wouldn't that be the perfect interim entity to do this work?
Through the chair, Senator French, absolutely. That Ledge Budget and Audit could be a place to do that. There's no, the only distinction would be not having either members of the public or a representative from the AML, but certainly they could be included in discussions. I'm just looking for somebody to really recognize the magnitude of this and take the reins. And again, my hope would just be that you all would consider moving this on to the next committee of referral to keep the momentum and the pressure on the subject matter going. If it arrives at the Senate Finance Committee and Senator Meyer is tapped the king of competitive grants.
We're using the word czar.
Be it czar, pardon me. Oh, you're right, the President of the United States uses czar. So the czar of Alaska competitive grants and all things recovery. I would be grateful for that. I think he and his committee would also be well suited.
Thank you, Senator McGuire. Senator Passavant.
The question that I have is, in Section 2, it says the Act is repealed July 1, 2009. Is that too short of a deadline?
Yes. And that would need to be changed. My apologies. Through the chair, Senator Passavant, yes, that would need to be changed now.
And would, like, a February 1, 2010, so that gets us into the next legislative, or March 1, what would be, or what is a date for extending that would be appropriate? I mean, when I'm looking at the dates, we have dates into September 2010 that we're provided with. That
Through the chair, Senator Pasvian, that's a really, really good question. And again, that was drafted when the idea was to, you know, stimulate the discussion right away and set up a framework. There actually are dates that go all the way through 2012, but really the drop dead date is January 1st, 2011. I actually think it could be up to this committee about how far they wanted to do it. In fact, if you wanted to set it out further with the idea that the task force could simply end its work, that would be one idea, or leave it open and we simply repeal it. I think at this stage, if I were to give it an answer, I would say April of 2010.
I think that's
follow-up.
Appropriate.
Okay.
You know,
are there any other members that have any questions? Okay, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just some comments. I do appreciate you bringing this forward, Senator McGuire. I think it is a concept, an idea that we should consider as a legislative body. What I've found is that there are a lot of people working this issue. Certainly, Senator Murkowski back in D.C., Senator Baggage, their offices are overseeing this money and making sure it gets to Alaska. Certainly, Larry Pursley's been working on this probably more than anyone, primarily for at the request of the House Finance. The Senate, though, has hired, as you know, through LBNA, Steve Porter, who's also been given his periodic reports. And you're right, the next key date is April 3rd, and that will be up to the administration to request the funds. And then it's uncertain if she doesn't, then what role, if any, the legislature plays, and what our options are. Some think we have 45 days as well after that to request the money if we so desire. But what I've found is that most of this is going to require the executive branch to make the requests and apply for the grants. The role of the legislature is still pretty much unknown. In fact, I think our role right now is more to just kind of oversee the administration and make sure they're doing what they're doing and that we either agree or disagree with them. And I think thus far, Karen Rayfield has been fairly cooperative and I think is working fairly well with the legislature. So. My opinion right now is that it's still early in the process, that things are working pretty well in the House and the Senate and the executive branch are working well also. But if things, you know, don't continue down that path, having this task force is certainly an option I think we should consider.
Okay, thank you. Do you have any last comments? Because sure. In the interest of time, I was going to have Larry come in because he's on a time frame here, too.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, just closing. In closing and in wrap-up, Senator Meyer's right. I mean, again, Madam Chair, it would just be a tool. Task forces don't carry the weight of law, per se. It just is another idea to sit out there should things not progress in the way we'd like them to, or should we want more coordination? I think that's one of my concerns, is that there's a lot of work being done in discrete parts, but trying to get it all together and then to the public.
Again, in your projected fiscal note is?
There's no 50. Fiscal note. They're just members of the government that would be working, so there's no per diem.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator McGuire. And I think I'll let Larry Pursley come up. I think it would be appropriate at this time. And I. Sorry you didn't get your on the plane, but we're happy to have you here in person rather than Matt.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman.
State your name, please, and fill
for the record, I'm Larry Pursley, an aide to the House Finance Committee, and I have, for the past several weeks, been working, trying to understand, decipher, translate, gather information on the economic stimulus bill, and I've been sending out updates to all legislators, at least I hope all legislators have been getting them, and a growing list of Alaskans who have heard about it and called and said, gee, can I get them too? I'm available to answer questions. One thing, if I could, just to clarify, the April 3rd date, the Economic Stimulus Act requires the governor of each state by April 3rd to certify back to the federal government that state wants the money, or some of it, all of it, pieces of it. if a governor does not request funds, then the legislature by concurrent resolution can request them for the state. But, and this gets to Senator French's question, that April 3rd deadline only applies to money going through the state. There are a lot of grant funds that the state will administer. The feds will give money to the state will then grant them out. Those would be covered by the April 3rd deadline because the money is coming to the state, much like DOT money for roads or Medicaid funding that's going to the state. There are a lot of grant programs that don't go through the states. There will be federal agencies administering those directly to nonprofits or to partnership other entities. The April 3rd deadline doesn't apply to those. Even if, for example, Alaska were to decide it did not want any funds, that would shut off grant funds to nonprofits that would be going through states, but grants going to nonprofits directly from federal agencies, Health and Social Services, Department of Justice, Department of Energy, would not be affected by that. So I just want to clarify that what the date applies to and what it doesn't. But certainly,
Senator Passman.
What is the amount of the funds that will go through the state?
Through the chair, if you subtract direct federal spending, such as the Indian Health Service Hospital in Nome, money that's going to go through the state, I say it's a little bit north of about $800 million, though that depends because some of it is by formula, such as Medicaid. Some of it is by formula with, call it kickers, the state can get more Medicaid money if unemployment gets worse, which I guess sort of makes sense. More unemployment, you have more need for Medicaid. But until you pass that trigger and get the additional funding, that's a little uncertain. There are some grants that the state will get by formula, some that they're going to have to compete for. But in terms of what's pretty much guaranteed to come through the state one way or another, I'd say a little bit more than $800 million. But most of that is going to go out in airports, transportation, transit, Medicaid, education. When it comes right down to it, there is very little discretionary money for the state, but there are some grant funds.
Follow up?
Sure. Do you believe that there would be a usefulness in establishing a task force or a usefulness in establishing some other form? In other words, I see oversight entities of different states, whether it's called a coordinator or a committee, task force, board, advisory group. You know, there's different forms. So do you see a usefulness to have an entity like a task force, or would there be a usefulness for some other type of group?
Through the chair, I guess what I would look at is the demand coming from the public for information. I was supposed to be in Anchorage this morning to present at the LUSAC Library to a group that had grown to about 170 representatives of nonprofits who are trying to find out what's there and what to apply for. So there's a need for information, and I think people got a little hyped up from the news media that the money was instant, but there's a couple dozen programs that never existed until 3 weeks ago when this was signed into law. So we shouldn't blame federal agencies that they don't have the grant criteria or the applications or the scoring out yet, because some of those programs never existed. So I get to get back to answering your question. There's a need for information. Alaskans are going to want to apply for the grants as money as they can, whether it's a task force, whether it's an office coordinator. I guess the question for the committee and the legislature and the administration is, what role should the state have in assisting nonprofits, community entities that would like to try to get some of the grant funds? Certainly DOT, Medicaid agencies can take care of themselves. The question is your constituents and nonprofits that would like to get as much as they can from this program. And I think people also need to be cautioned. It's not going to be tens of millions of dollars flowing to nonprofits in Alaska, but it will be money that's worth applying for.
I would have a question, Mr. Pursley. Do you have high confidence that we're going down a good path to be good stewards of this stimulus money? I guess I'm looking for a yes or no. Are you comfortable?
Madam Chair, you mean in terms of helping nonprofits or in terms of Medicaid and education and transportation money?
The whole gamut. Do you have a high confidence level that you're doing everything possible with the limited amount of people that are working on this and the caliber of people that are working on this.
Madam Chair, in my conversations with Karen Rehfeld at OMB, with John Katz in the state's Washington, D.C. office, with the congressional delegation, agency people, and others, I have confidence that Alaska is doing a good job of determining what's in there for Alaska and how to spend it wisely and how to have a fair shot at getting a fair share.
Okay, thank you. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Larry, I guess I share the same feelings with you in the sense that there are a lot of people working on this issue. As I mentioned, back in D.C. and several of us here, and then several at the nonprofits now have an interest, as well as a lot of the mayors and municipalities. So I guess I'm not convinced that a task force would help or could hinder. I mean, it could just have more people involved in the process. But I do believe that there is, and this is where the task force may be an option, a need for a central point, a control point, where the public can go for information, where the nonprofits can go, the municipalities can go, where we as legislators know what money's going where. Because I know we've heard Senator Stedman say that, you know, in the capital budget, he wants to kind of level it out statewide. So he needs to know what the municipalities have already gotten through the economic stimulus program, and frankly, how Nome got that $125 million for that hospital, I don't know. I don't have a clue how they got that, and I don't think anyone is quite sure. And I think that's where a task force or a central point could be helpful. But in your opinion, do you agree that that our role as legislators is kind of secondary in this process? I mean, it's obviously a administration's prime responsibility to kind of be the lead dog, so to speak, in this process. But I do think that we can help them and probably should oversee them to make sure that they are being as aggressive as possible, especially as it pertains to the grants, the competitive grants. But other than that, our role as legislators, as I see, there are some legislation that's needed, and we've already received one on DOT, and there may be a couple more dealing with some other issues, and then, like as you mentioned, possibly the joint resolution if the governor doesn't pursue the certification. But other than that, what else do you see the legislators needing to do?
Through the chair, I'm only smiling a little bit because when I told the staff in my office, Representative Hawker's office, that I was going to come down and do this, they said, well, be careful, just provide facts, don't give opinions. But it's my nature. I can't stay away from that. Just to back up real quickly, the Indian Health Service Hospital in Nome, that was a matter of the economic stimulus bill, gave money to the health service and told them, you know, the directions were to work off their priority projects, and that was a priority project. They've been trying to assemble the last money needed to finish it. So that's, you know, that it did not involve the state at all. I guess through the chair, to answer Senator Meyer's question, the legislator's role certainly directly is to decide if the governor doesn't want funds, whether you want funds, and then the money that comes in, your power of appropriation to pick from the governor's list or accept the governor's list for transportation projects, for transit projects. Certainly there is some discretion in the fiscal stabilization funds, the 18% of that that doesn't have to be spent on education but could. There's $20 million there that is subject to legislative appropriation. So in terms of your role, there is that role as the appropriator to pick where some of these funds go, if you want them, if there's a change in statute needed, is it worth it? Is it good policy for the funds? I guess in terms of the issue today of helping nonprofits, of working with them to provide information, coordinating, that's, I suppose, fits in the category of if you feel it's is a good public purpose and public policy to assisting, then you could look at how you would want to do that, whether it's task force, whether it's coordinator, whether it's an office of coordination, whether it's assigning existing staff to work with the Alaska Municipal League, work with legislators, work with the 4-Acre Group. there's different entities out there, and it's sort of your choice if you think there's a public purpose to that, how you want to do it, whether task force coordinator or some vehicle, some tool to do, to provide that service.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is there anybody else that has any discussion? Okay, thank you very much, Larry. We
thank
really
you.
Appreciate that testimony. Next, we have Jerry Woodrow. Jerry, would you come forward, state your name, affiliation, and give your testimony, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jeremy Woodrow. I'm an employee of the Alaska Municipal League. The Alaska Municipal League would like to go on record supporting SB 130. As part of the $787 billion American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, Alaska is expected to receive more than $800 million. To make certain that these funds are used appropriately and in a timely manner, numerous national and consequently state deadlines accompany the economic stimulus. Ensuring that these funds are fully and adequately distributed across our state will be a challenging task for all parties involved in the decision-making process. Nonetheless, the task will be a fulfilling one as we see Alaska benefit from the completion of these projects currently on the horizon. AML supports the fair, equitable, and statewide distribution of the federal economic stimulus in a manner that benefits all Alaska regions and municipalities. The League agrees that the formation of an Alaska Economic Stimulus Stability and Job Security Task Force is a step in the right direction towards stimulating Alaska's economy, minimizing the effect that a national recession may have on Alaska's economy. Furthermore, we believe that including municipalities in the process provides great insight and benefit to the task force. The League is grateful and humbled that the bill's sponsor, Senator McGuire, has included the Alaska Municipal League as a member. And this partnership is another example of how the administration, the legislature, and municipalities can work together to benefit our state. Again, the Alaska Municipal League supports SB 130 and looks forward to working with the state on issues regarding the federal economic stimulus. That concludes my written testimony. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Are there any questions of the committee? Senator Kukesh.
If the Municipal League is part of this task force, do you anticipate covering all of your own expenses if there's any travel involved or any kind of impact on the Municipal League? I know this task force is there's no fiscal note.
Through the chair, Senator Kukesh, that's correct. The Municipal League has participated in many different task force like this, whether it's nationwide or statewide. This is something that actually has to be, you know, brought before the board, and it's the board's decision. In the past, usually has not been a problem, and AML has been able to support a member to, you know, make the travels that are needed and to, you know, accommodate them when needed.
That's a yes.
That is a yes.
Thank you.
Are there any further questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, we have Brenda Hewitt. Brenda, would you come forward, state your name, affiliation, and give your testimony, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for hearing us. I represent the United Way of Southeast Alaska down here in Juneau. We actually have 24 communities and over 30 nonprofit agencies. And I just came to speak a little bit in favor. I went out and asked all my nonprofits if this would be a benefit to them, and they do see it as a benefit. And I realize that some of this will not go down to the smaller nonprofits, because anytime you're dealing with federal grants, it's pretty complicated anyway. And we have some of our larger agencies that already belong to several different organizations, and they're getting, oh, say Catholic Community Services is coming in, and they're analyzing this bill from their perspective, and you've got another group that's dealing with hospice and home care and is coming down with their perspective. And so if you belong to your national organizations, already kind of dissecting the bill as to how it affects you. Some of our smaller agencies don't have that benefit. When you talk about savvy people and people who have the capability of applying for some of these grants, we have all ranges of it. But I know right here in Juneau, we know that there's 990 some odd thousand dollars that are sitting on the table, unapplied for, earned income tax credits. We've never been able to get the information out, or haven't gotten people who are below that poverty line to apply for their income tax rebates that they could get. We have a neighborhood stabilization grant money that came through HUD. We weren't coordinated enough to apply for that money. So there's money that sits out there on the table that could be spent and put into our economy here and utilized for projects we know we need. And so I think having a coordinated effort, and I don't care if it's a task force or a coordinator or somebody, but Karen Rayfield already has a lot on her plate, so you can imagine if a nonprofit's going to call her and ask her for information on how that stimulus bill that's 1,000 pages affects their organization, it's a little overwhelming. So I would encourage you to come forth with some avenue that nonprofits can, you know, approach for areas of this bill that could be helpful in carrying out their mission.
Okay. Do any members have any questions? Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I just want to take a brief at ease. Order. I'm going to now close public testimony. Is there anyone else? Do committee members have any questions or amendments? Go ahead.
Yes, I would propose a conceptual amendment that the Section 2 date be changed to April 1, 2010, and that way it would expire in next legislative session. So if there were to be the need to extend it beyond that, we would have the ability to do that a year from now. So that's the amendment that I would propose.
Do I hear a motion to move this out of committee?
One thing at a time.
Any objection? Sorry.
Just a discussion point, Madam Chair. I think it's a good idea, but does that, you know, if the task force issues its final report July 1, 2009, what do we imagine might happen between then and the next year when the task force goes away?
Can I object to his amendment so we can discuss?
Yes. Okay. There you go. Okay. Is there an objection to the amendment?
Object.
So now we're under discussion.
Now we're under discussion.
Okay. And I'll reincorporate my remarks in discussion.
Okay.
You know, I understand that as the bill is currently written, it has a final report. But then as I also understand that there are going to be additional activities that will need to be monitored. And if there is a supplemental report, whatever it might be called, if the other legislators needed to be advised or to receive additional information, I think that would provide an avenue to recognize that. And you know, I think if we're going to pass the bill through, to have a date to next April is appropriate if we're going to pass the bill through.
Good enough. Thank you. Okay. Thank you for the explanation.
What is the will of the committee? Senator Myers? You're Senator Lisa McClure. Sorry.
It's an honor. Madam Chair, members of the committee, if I could recommend, we're walking through this. It's a great idea, as we discussed. Perhaps what we do is say that on page 2, line 16, the task force shall submit an initial report or a preliminary report. And then the final report could actually be issued commensurate with the date of April 2010. So in other words, if we had a preliminary report due July 1st, 2009, that would set up the structure, the goals, you know, allow the public and certainly the legislature to understand what the role of the task force will be. So the task force shall submit a preliminary report, but then the final report wouldn't need to be issued until the end of the task force. That date was in there because we were envisioning the task force going to work more quickly on different parts of the stimulus and then ending. So just a suggestion.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator French.
Then I will move an amendment, a conceptual amendment to Senator Pascan's amendment. Actually, that's not going to work very well. That's going to be too confusing. We should probably do one thing at a time. My suggestion would be that we pass Senator Pascan's amendment, extending the final date, and then go back into a second amendment with respect to the reports.
Okay.
That's clear.
So hearing that, let's go ahead. And what is the will of the
I'll remove committee? My objection to his, to Senator Pascan's.
So the will of the committee then would be to go ahead and pass Senator Pascan's recommendation. Is there any discussion on that? Okay, then we'll do the follow-up.
Okay, so, I mean, just for the record, we've adopted Senator Pascan's amendment, right?
Amendment.
Okay, I'm going to propose an amendment.
A second amendment.
That says on page 2, line 16, the word final be replace with initial. Why don't we do that as amendment number two? Then we'll do a third amendment for the final report. I think that's clear still. So I'm proposing that we change the word final to initial on page 2, line 16. That's my motion. That's my amendment.
Okay, is there any discussion on that?
I'll object so we can discuss.
Okay, there's an objection, so now we have discussion. Any discussion on that?
Senator French, Kukash, does that mean that you're going to have another amendment that will clarify why we're doing that initial?
Yeah, I just
to
thought
we should explain it, because in order for me to vote on the initial thing, I want to know what your next step is going to be.
The next motion would be to add a final report.
Okay. What would the date be of the final report?
April 2010.
Okay.
Sound about right?
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'll remove my objection.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Okay.
You should rule that it's passed.
I rule that that's passed.
Okay. Thank you. Now I have one final amendment, and that
second
would be...
The second amendment was passed. This is the third.
To add, it'd be a subsection G. You see that on page 2, line 16, the last subsection is F. To add a subsection G, and the amendment would read, the task force shall submit a final report to the legislature before April 1, 2010.
I object for discussion.
Okay, is there objection? Okay. Now we can have discussion.
So as I understand the way that the language, by saying before April 1, that if there were to be a need to extend this beyond April 1 next year, that we would potentially have a report before April 1, so that if the task force said we still believe that we need 6 more months or 4 months or a year, that we would, as a body, could make that determination as well.
Is that your intent as the maker of the amendment?
I'll just say that we've right now the task force goes away July 1, 2010. So between April 2010 and July 2010, there'd be time to extend the task force if we saw fit to do so.
Okay. Are members comfortable with that? The other thing is we could not move this out and take it up next week and work all this through if it's uncomfortable for any member.
Madam Chair, we should probably finish doing the amendment.
Okay.
And then decide if we want to move the bill.
Okay.
I'll remove my objection to amendment number 3.
Okay, is there any further discussion? Okay.
You should rule the amendment's adopted.
We rule that that's adopted. That's subline 16 and G, that now the task force will report before April 1st, 2010. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
And what that does, Madam Chair, is that in essence brings the full bill back before us for discussion. And that's where we are now, I think.
Okay.
Madam Chair, and I guess the question that you should decide is if the committee members are clear with these amendments that we've made, or if we should have these amendments made and then bring a CS back before us next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yes,
Senator French.
On that point, I think these are fairly minor. I mean, we've made a few little date changes, but I think we all get what we've done.
I'm okay.
My inclination would be to send it to finance, where this really needs to get hashed out anyway.
Okay. Fine. So, do I hear a motion to move this bill out of committee?
Madam Chair?
Yes. Senator Myers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that we move Senate Bill number 130 as amended with the three amendments with the attached fiscal note, which I think is going to change. I saw a letter on that, but with the attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Okay, so that will be moved out of committee. Okay, Chair, let's take a brief at ease. We've got one more. To certain members of military bill hearing. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to move that we adopt the CS for House Concurrent Resolution number 7 / R.
Okay. Thank you for doing that. Okay, this is last on our agenda. And so now we'd like, is it Laura Pierre?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, staff member of Representative Dahlstrom to come forward and present your bill, and please state your name and affiliation again.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Laura Pierre, staff to Representative Nancy Dahlstrom. The bill you have in front of you, the CS, we made an amendment on the House floor 2 weeks ago. At that time, we were not aware that the members' names who we were adding to this bill were veterans of the Korean War. The Decoration of Honor is awarded to members of the military who are killed in action after statehood. So from statehood on, the 12 members were from before statehood, so legally they cannot receive this award. What the CS does is remove their names and goes forward with the 6 members who were killed in action during 2008. And this resolution will take place every year to add for calendar year any members who were killed in action during that year. And that's their Alaskan military members. They're stationed in Alaska. They live in Alaska but are deployed for military purposes.
Okay, thank you.
It's pretty simple. If you have any questions,
okay,
I'd be happy to answer.
Are there any questions of Laura from committee members?
Yeah, I just
Senator Passman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In other words, I had 3 members in my district that were killed a month ago, you know, and this doesn't include their names. And as I understand what you're saying is that we can do an in memoriam for them now, but we have to wait for another year to have their names added to an official category, or?
That's correct, Senator Pascavan, through the chair. The names for 2009 will be introduced in 2010 legislature and approved, such as this resolution that's going on right now for 2008. You could do in memoriam for them, a citation for them, but to receive the Decoration of Honor, their names will be approved next legislature.
Okay, thank you. Is there any other members that have any questions? Okay, thank you very much. And now we have McHugh Pierre, who would like to come. Please state your name, affiliation, and give your testimony.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is McHugh Pierre, legislative liaison for Department of Military and Veterans Affairs. And I just wanted, Madam Chair, to address the committee and say thank you very much for taking this issue up and explain kind of the situation that we're in. Senator Pascavan asked a very particular question, and that is my office within the department has the responsibility to track down these names and then offer a report to the President of the Senate and Speaker of the House every year, the JAS committee members, committee chairs. And the first year was in 2008 that we gathered these names and offered the list, if you will, and we had about 180 names that we gathered. It was my fault for not identifying these 12 members have been killed in action before 1959, and then and these 12 names maintain on a list somehow throughout this process. So I wanted to apologize for that, Madam Chair. And then to answer Senator Pascavan's question, as this calendar year progresses, my office keeps a list of all of those military members through Alaska that are killed in action, and we will present that list in December before the calendar year ends. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Does any committee member have any questions? Okay, thank you very much. Is there anyone online? There's none, seeing none. Okay, I'll close public testimony then. Since we have the blank Senate committee substitute for HCR 7 before us, may I hear a motion to adopt this SCS as the working document?
I think we've done that.
Okay, do I hear a motion then to move this bill from committee? Okay, Senator French.
It would be my honor to move that Senate CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 7 be passed out of the State Affairs Committee onto the next committee referral with individual recommendations.
Okay, thank you. Is there any objection? Hearing none, SCS HCR 7 moves from State Affairs to the next committee of referral. We are adjourned.
All right.